The content here is for informational purposes only. It should not be taken as legal, business, tax, or investment advice, or used to evaluate any investment or security. This podcast does not constitute a solicitation to enter into an investment agreement with Team Huens. For more details, please visit teamhuens.com/terms of use.
Hello, and welcome to Team Talk. This week we have Chief Investment Officer John Bussell with us, and we're going to ask him, are we in a bull or bear market? John, thanks for joining me. So John, let me start off by asking, what's going on in the markets? What's going on with liquidity?
Part of it is this weird liquidity thing, right? Where the Fed steps in the way it is, there's a lot of liquidity in the system, and it can't get itself into the real economy right now. It's like stuck in the financial markets in a way. Which good for the markets, but it creates this crazy disconnect between, you know, the Wall Street, Main Street disconnect. I mean, could it get any wider than it possibly could? Where literally Main Street is shut down. I mean, it is literally closed. So it's odd. Can I tell you, Rob? I can basically give some explanation for things, but it doesn't make me feel much better. It's kind of strange.
No, that's a strange feeling.
Obviously, I prefer higher prices and lower prices, but it's just very odd. Because you're still looking at, I mean, I don't know, when's the next time you're going to go to a restaurant or to a movie theater or to a concert? I don't know. I mean, it might. And if you do go, you're going to go all masked up, I guess.
I mean, it's certainly not business as usual coming out the gate. Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It is.
Very unusual. It's very unusual. Shows you all the more reason why, you know, the game of trying to predict markets is so, so difficult. Because, I mean, it's crazy how, which I think, you know, plays well into our approach in the sense that, I mean, if you were our client, Rob, and I called you, I'm your advisor, and I called you up and I said,
yeah, what would you tell me?
Well, first of all, let's say in January.
Sure.
I called you and I said, you know, there's this weird thing going on in this city of Wuhan, China. There's this virus, looks pretty bad, you know, that's caused the Chinese government ultimately to shut the whole city down. And I don't know if they'll be effective at it or not, but, you know, this thing can really spread with the way travel is around the world. And, you know, there's people from Wuhan who are all over the place now on the globe. Mm-hmm. And if this thing's going to spread. And,
right.
You know, the nature of any government, frankly, is to react kind of slowly, right? I mean, it's just the nature, and that's the way it's played out across Europe and here. I mean, it's just the way. It's very hard to like sound the alarm to something that's invisible, that's right. Not even here, right?
Exactly.
And you have the comparison here between, you know, politically, you know, Donald Trump and Bill de Blasio couldn't be more opposite. And but they both had enormous reluctance for obvious reasons to like take extreme measures well ahead of time. Right?
Right, right.
It's just the nature of the beast. And just like they couldn't do it in France, you know, in Spain could have acted earlier, it saw what was happening in Italy and it didn't. And England tried its way, and you know, all these different countries across, you know, they all basically, they're, you know, very, except for the, you know, places like a Singapore or Korea that had more firsthand experience and sort of a different setup.
Right. Well, yeah, they've seen this before. They
yeah, and also they have, you know, the measures don't seem as out of, you know, create, you know, so foreign. To have people wear masks in Asia for years. I mean, you know, it's been the, so in any event, let's say I call you and I give you this crazy story and I say, I think we got to take some dramatic action because this is going to freak out the world. It's going to cause massive economic disruption and or could. It's a really good chance it could. I really feel that way. And, you know, you should, you know, massively cut or eliminate your exposure to stocks for the time being. And let's see how this thing plays out. And so we do that. And, you know, by the middle of March, you know, early to middle of March, you know, I'm a hero to the
client. I would say, you're looking like a genius. You're right. My hero.
I'm a freaking hero. And so I, and so we do it. I'm a hero. Everything's great. And if by March 23rd, or, you know, at that time, those couple, those what are now a handful of days between, you know, in mid-March, call it, had we not gotten back into equities in a meaningful way, now I'm an idiot already. I've gone from being the greatest genius to being freaking schmuck.
Right.
All within, you know, a matter of weeks. And at the time, imagine trying to somehow do a 180 to the client and say, wait a minute, this whole thing, you know, it's like, well, now I, you know, now I sense enough of that whole worst scenario is now well priced into stocks and the risk is not there anymore. So you can buy everything back. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you know, basically, you know, it's sort of like, you know, the odds of it's like the equivalent of like having the perfect bracket in the NCAA. I mean,
yeah,
I'd love to hear, you know, find one advisor on planet Earth with recorded conversations that went that way in those time periods. Right.
Oh, I think there's a better chance at a perfect bracket than that, that occurring.
So, meanwhile, the story is still not over, right? Would it shock you? I don't know. I mean, at this point, if we went all the way back to the lows of March 23rd, I'd be pretty, I guess, somewhat surprised.
Yeah.
But if we took, you know, 15, 20% hit down from where we are right now, that sounds totally reasonable given the length at which, you know, it just, it could play out. That just takes, you know, time, more time, and business is just conditions and are just too difficult and are just not ramping up back the way people would hope, or that there's setbacks along the way with that, like that timeline I showed, you know,
right,
these expectations on drug trials and vaccines, you know, any of that pathway really gets disrupted. And who knows how next winter will play out in terms of, but you're certainly being more prepared. You know, you can go either way, but it's hard to go all the way to be like, we're going to continue on this pace of recovery and we'll be back at, you know, all time highs in the next 2 or 3 months. That's kind of, that seems pretty low probability to me. Anything's-
One last question before I let you go.
Yeah.
Are we in a bear or bull market? I see a lot in the news about it being, you know, in a bear market, but with the recent slight uptick in the markets, technically, what are we in?
Technically, based on the rules that somebody made up some long time ago, we transitioned incredibly rapidly from a bull market to a bear market back to a bull market, with the definitions being that if you pull back and stay there for a little bit, 20% or more, you at least through a closing market day down 20% or more, then you've entered bear market territory. And so we more than did that, going down, you know, closer to 35%+. And then we've recovered now, and we're up, you know, well over the 20% threshold that is defined as a new bull market. So when you go from a bear market bottom and markets start to advance, you don't just call it a bull market. You need the advance to be significant and substantial enough, at least in terms of magnitude, to be able to declare a bull market. So technically, I don't think there's a duration element to it. Like, oh, well, you need to go up 20%, but it can't happen overnight.
Right.
It needs to happen over a certain amount of time. That, I don't know. I've never seen that rules on that, but I don't think there is. So technically, we're back in a bull market, it just doesn't feel that way.
No, but hopefully it stays that way.
It doesn't feel that way. So we're in an in-between. In reality, it feels much more like we're in an in-between environment, and we're still working our way through this, you know, unprecedented, unique episode for all of us. And, you know, I think it deserves a certain amount of discount by investors, just the level of uncertainty around it. We've certainly learned a lot in the last couple weeks, and that's mainly been to the positive side in terms of news flow around the virus and the support that we're getting from the government, both monetarily and fiscally. But businesses can only keep going for so long without, you know, lots of businesses across lots of sectors without their goods or services being purchased and revenue being generated. And so that pathway has to continue to develop and develop pretty clearly in the coming weeks, I think, for say the bull market status to continue. So it's technically a bull market, but it's sort of on very shaky ground, and we watch every day here, as every day is just a big day in terms of news flow about the virus, news flow about government policy, news flow about a path towards reopening the economy, we'll just watch day by day in the context of, you know, keeping, as I said before, strong discipline around a long-term plan.
That works for me. That clarifies it a good bit. So hopefully it does for our listeners.
Good.
Well, thank you, John, for your time today. I'm looking forward to more conversations like this in the future with you, and I appreciate you calling.
This podcast was brought to you by Team Huens, counselors to family wealth. To learn more, please visit teamhuens.com. Thank you.